Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby. Yari Curry. McSorley. Pogrecki. Scores. He did it. The greatest goal scorer in National Hockey League history. Scores. A magnificent goal.
He's been going in on goal. He shouldn't.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to the Razzball Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Woohoo! It is Thursday, the 17th of November. Yeah, all right. We got this time thing figured out, Viz. We are joined, as always, by the wise and powerful Viz, who actually whooped my ass in both fantasy hockey leagues we played against each other last week. Viz, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. I mean, yeah, my team's doing really well. I'm going to put a quick update on the RCLs out. I'm guessing early next week, just see how every league is turning out and everything. A lot of games last night, and sadly a lot of injuries to some key players that we're going to have to take a look at.
You know, I just said we had the time thing figured out, and then you go and you say last night when you meant Tuesday night.
Come on.
Jesus Christ.
You got okay. It down. You didn't say I did.
All right. Well, fair enough. Let's take a look at some of those injuries, which kind of affected. Well, one of them truly affected my team quite a bit. Let's start in Calgary with Johnny Hockey. Broken finger. Not good. The initial report is out 4 to 6 weeks, And then I've seen other reports saying two months. That's terrifying.
Yeah,
I mean, you still have to hold them.
For sure.
I guess let's talk about the big thing. How badly does this impact Sean Monahan?
I mean, quite a bit. I don't even know who's he going to get to play with, honestly. I mean, I saw they called up Hunter Shinkarik, but, I mean, Bennett has to play center. They don't have anybody else. Apparently in practice, they did put Bennett on the wing with Monahan and Brouwer. So perhaps that line actually does do okay still, but, I mean, Monahan, we're going to get to him later too, but he's very fringe right now in 12ers. I would be running out of patience with him.
Well, I'm in a 12er in the RCL. I own Sean Monahan, and yes, I am running out of patience quite a bit. It's very, becoming very annoying. 4 goals, 2 assists, and 17 games played. He's a minus 10, under 2 shots a game, and 1 special teams point. I mean, that's just unacceptable. But we'll get to him and the panic meter at the later part of this podcast. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to other injuries. Stamkos, man, he was on fire.
Yeah,
this season.
Him and Taylor vintage. Hall next. I mean, I have both of them on. Two of the RCL teams I have, I think. Stamkos was just a weird play along the boards. And same with Hall. They both were flown back to their home cities and are getting evaluated today. No definitive timetable on either of them. Just basically right now crossing your fingers and hoping it's the best. I mean, Stamkos, I was getting him in like the 20s in some leagues, and I had him ranked in my top 10. He's got 20 points in 17 games, over 3 shots, 7 special teams points. It's been elite so far, and I got to hope his knee isn't too bad. Same with Hall. It sounds like it's his knee as well. Starting to pick it up. He had 12 points in 14 games. I mean, 60 shots, so well over 4 a game.
Yeah,
it's been great for both of them so far, and hopefully we'll get some news on them. I can include it, on Thursday. I can add it into the post or by Friday at least. But you definitely have to hold both of them, even if they miss a month or so.
Yeah, Taylor Hall is a little bit concerning because I was at the Devils Sabres game in Buffalo the other night, and he is so good. He is so fast. And, I mean, he looks elite. I mean, we all said that in the summer when they slaughtered Edmonton with that trade. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Stamkos one, Tampa has enough firepower behind him to hold it together, I think. I mean, he was playing very well. Maybe we'll see a boost in Tyler Johnson. Maybe we'll see Drouin.
Really, he should be back soon.
Hopefully we see these other guys turn it up. Kucherov's still there, having an excellent season.
Yeah, I mean, so he's leading
I'm not so worried points. About Tampa. I think with New Jersey, Taylor Hall, it looked like a lot of their offense revolved around him. So we'll see if they can pick it up. They won Tuesday night against Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You look at their lines without him, and it gets really thin very fast. So,
this is the Pavel Zacha show. Maybe it'll finally.
I mean, Henrik is looking better. Same with Palmieri, and those three are together. So maybe that'll help. Parenteau's been a nice get. I mean, I still don't understand why the Islanders waived him, but yeah, I mean, they really need him to be there. He's their one game breaker at this point, so
yeah.
They really need to hope it's only like a couple weeks. I mean, I'd be surprised if it's anything less than that. The fact that they had to send him home and, you know, they said it'll be a couple days for them to evaluate it makes me think it's going to be at least, you know, into December, if not longer. So, I mean, just knock on wood, hope for the best.
Yeah, I mean, they said on Wednesday, they said it's MRI day for, like, four of these players. So it's kind of important. Alex Steen for the Blues. What's wrong with him?
I mean, he left the game yesterday against the Sabres, like, three times and kept coming
Tuesday. Oh, he left the game whatever. Tuesday. You are never going to get this right, are you?
Sometimes. You know, it just seems like he's the type of guy who can just never find a way to stay healthy. So, I mean, they said it was precautionary. I mean, but, you know, it's always going to be precautionary with him because he misses 10-plus games every single season. So, I mean, you basically, it's a ticking time bomb. You were waiting for it to happen. I mean, maybe we'll be lucky and he'll be back, you know, over the weekend, but, I mean, I'm not counting on it. I mean, you know what it is with Steen. You draft him as a value on a per-game basis where you get him. I mean, he's a top 75 player easily, probably pushing top 50 on a per-game basis.
When he plays.
But you know you're going to eat those 10 games, and that's the nature of the beast of drafting him. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's that time of the year, I guess, for him to, to miss.
Let's go to the Nets. Neuvirth for the Flyers.
Yeah,
what's the update on him?
They said 4 to 6 weeks. Steve Mason played on Tuesday against against Ottawa. 24 saves and 26 shots looked fine. They lost in a shootout, but it wasn't his fault. Mason also played Sunday. Saturday against Minnesota, played well, made 30 saves, gave up one goal after Neuvirth left, or 20 saves, excuse me, after Neuvirth left with the injury. He's going to start pretty much every game for the time being, but I think it's pretty much in the desperate for starts category. I mean, we've seen Mason play really well. I mean, last season he put up great numbers. So it's in him. Maybe he just needs to play more games and it's going to help him, you know, get in the zone or whatever. But
yeah, maybe he recaptures that rookie year in Columbus magic that he had going on.
Right.
Although that was forever ago.
For sure. But, I mean, last year he finished with a .918 save percentage and a .251 goals against. I mean, if you can get that from him as a third goalie, who's even available to pick up in a bunch of leagues, I think you'd be happy with it.
Yep.
So, I mean, for now, if you're desperate for starts, grab him and hope for the best. Otherwise, you can just wait and see.
All right, let's move on to Nashville. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, listeners. Smashville. Let's move on to Smashville. And Pekka Rinne staying in the net. What's the update on him?
He practiced this Wednesday morning. You know, it's day-to-day, lower body. It doesn't sound serious. It's serious for Nashville because any game he misses right now, if they have to play Marek Mazanek in net, it's an absolute disaster. I watched a fair bit of their game against Toronto. He looks absolutely lost. I mean, he gave up 6 goals on 32 shots, and remarkably, that increased his save percentage on the season. Like, it's just been horrible. I mean, he's below 900 goals or save percentage in his career now. Over, I mean, it's only over 25 starts, but still, he clearly doesn't belong in the NHL. I'm hoping that Thursday night that UC Saros gets the game. He was called up. He's been great in the AHL again after it was last year. We've talked about him before. I think he's the goaltender of the future for Nashville. In the short term, until Rinne is back, which, again, I don't think is going to be long, I hope they start Saros every game. I would be fine with streaming him tonight against Ottawa, or if he plays their next game on Saturday. But I don't know. It's a situation, that it's quite a mess. Because, again, we've got good Rinne lately, but you don't know if it's going to last. And you have to have a dependable backup goalie to turn to when you have a guy like that.
Yep.
Saros is only 21 years old. It's not fair to be counting on him already as well as he's done and his, in the SM Liga before he came to play in the AHL. So it's just something to keep an eye on. Another guy, if you want to stream, I'd be fine with Saros, but God, stay away from Mazanek, because that was just laughably bad.
Yeah, let's actually talk about Mazanek. I saw a stat, I believe it was Tuesday night, I believe they lost 6-2. Yeah, 6-2. Let me pull up the Mazanek numbers, because I don't think the listeners are truly going to have an appreciation for how bad he's been. He stopped 26 shots on 32 saves. That's an .813 save percentage, which is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
This game actually raised his save percentage for the season. That's how bad he's been.
Yeah, I mean, he's only started, I think, one other game against Chicago, like the second game of the year, and was so bad. He came in relief one game against the Ducks and gave up like 2 goals on 9 shots. Like, he's just not NHL caliber.
No, he should not be in the league. It just, no. Just horrible. All right, speaking of the Mazanek and getting lit up like a Christmas tree, let's talk about the line that did the Christmas tree lighting. That's the JVR Marner-Bozak line up in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past several weeks, this line has been way more powerful than the Matthews, Hyman, Nylander line.
Mm-hmm.
You want to own every bit of this line, right?
Yeah, I mean, Bozak's the only semi-close one, but I mean, he's up to 14 points now. I mean, you kind of have to hold him at least through his hot streak. He's got 8 points the last 5 games. So, I mean, JVR and Marner, there's no doubt about either of them. Marner's at 15 points in 16 games. Like I said before, I think he's going to end up leading the Leafs in points, at least among the rookies, more than Nylander and Matthews. JVR had a hat trick and assist yesterday. 15 points in 16 games, decent 8 penalty minutes, almost 3 shots per game. JVR has been great every year he's been in Toronto. Just last year, the injury killed him and got rid of half the season. But he had 29 points in 40 games last year. He's at a 60-point pace. So now he even has better talent around him. It seems like the teams are focusing on the Matthews and Kadri lines, which makes it even better for the Bozak line. So, yeah, you have to roll with all 3 of them for the time being, at least.
Also, to toot our own horns, I'm pretty sure we called the idea that the Matthews, Nylander, Hyman line was going to start to be the focus of other teams as the season went along. I believe it was after the second recording we did after the 4-goal opening night for Matthews.
Right.
We said teams are going to start to focus that line down, and we talked about how Ottawa just pretended like they weren't anything special. Now we're starting to see the results of that, and one of the consequences is now JVR, Marner, Bozak are tearing it up.
For sure. I mean, like we said before, if you could sell Matthews high, I guess I would. But I still think he's going to end up in like the 25 to 30 goal range. Only, I mean, the shots have still been great even during this downswing. I mean, he still have almost exactly four games, so
yeah.
The goals are going to be there. It's just not going to be like crazy. I mean, Nylander did score this game, and he was in a nine-game goalless streak. You know, he's up to 5 goals, 8 assists, you know, 2.5 shots. It's still very solid from both of them. It's just, you know, now the Leafs have, what, 7 guys that you should be holding? If you count Riley on defense and then, you know, those 5 and Kadri probably.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm, so.
All right, let's move. Let's stay in Canada. Connor Hellebuck, the guy in Winnipeg that we've been craving to just get the starting gig, keep Michael Hutchinson out of the fucking net. Hellebuck pitches a shutout against the Chicago Blackhawks. How much did you cream yourself when you saw this?
I mean, I felt great because I had him on a few teams, and I actually started him because either – you know, my guys were randomly on one of the 4 teams who didn't play, or, you know, like I had Martin Jones didn't start, so I got Hellebuck in. I mean, he started 4 straight games now. He's given up 2 goals or less in all 4 of them, winning every game. I mean, he's up to a .916 save percentage, which, you know, is decent, but considering the horrible start he had, it's nice to get back there already with the .245 goals against. 7 wins in 11 starts. I mean, he's the clear number one there now. He's a top-end number two goalie in my mind. I think he should be owned everywhere for sure. And I think by, you know, next year he's going to probably be a bottom-end number one, and I think eventually he's going to settle in as a fairly clear number one. I mean, not a top-five goalie. I don't know if he necessarily ever has that type of ceiling. I mean, maybe he does it, you know, 1 or 2 years throughout his career, but I think he's going to be one of the most consistent guys around soon enough.
Absolutely. All right, let's stay in Winnipeg. Marco Dano. All it says is, my love for Marco Dano. So okay. The floor is yours. Profess your love.
Good sir. I mean, coming in the last season, I had Dano ranked like in my top 150 when he got traded to Chicago in the Brandon Saad trade. I loved everything I saw from him in Columbus. And for some reason, they started him in the AHL last year, which really aggravated me because he was like my late round flyer in like every team possible. And then I just had to cut him before the season even started. But I mean, going back to that time, he finished Columbus as a rookie, 35 games, 21 points, 2.5 shots a game, which for a rookie is great. 14 penalty minutes plus 12. I mean, he looked terrific. And then they end up shipping him to Winnipeg after only playing 13 games on the fourth line.
What did they even get for him?
They traded Dano and a first for Ladd, which I thought either one of them was an overpayment for a rental. And granted, Ladd actually produced fairly well in that stretch, but, you know, they got bounced in the first round, and they never could afford to keep Ladd. The key to the team in Chicago all these years is having all these guys on entry-level contracts, and they just dumped him. They end up having to dump Teravainen, to dump Bickle. Like, it's, you know, they're getting away with it so far this year, but it's definitely worth it.
At some point, it's going to catch up to them.
When you're paying, you know, 5 guys like 35 to 40 million, it's going to hurt. But, you know, Dano plays 21 games down the stretch for Winnipeg. You know, 4 goals, 4 assists. It wasn't great. You know, 2 shots a game. And they started him down in the AHL this year, but they moved him. They called him back up a few weeks ago, and now in 8 games, he's got 3 goals and 2 assists. He played on the first line for a part of the game, the last 2 games. I mean, long term, I still think he's a great dynasty play, especially with all the talent around him. Like, he's going to be in their top 6 for a long time. Whether that lasts for the rest of this year really depends on when Little and Perreault and all these other guys come back. For now, I think he's a great streamer, especially, like I said, he played with Scheifele and Ehlers the other day. So, I mean, 3 points in the last 5. I love the talent there. He's still only 22 years old, despite all this, you know, jerking him around AHL, NHL, back and forth. So, this is more of a dynasty deep league thing. Like, for now, you could stream him in 12ers, no problem. It's a great daily fantasy play for the time being while he's this cheap, still playing first line. Yeah, it's just a guy that I've always liked. You know, he's kind of like Aho to you or one of the other young guys that,
yeah.
I don't know, I've always been a huge Dano fan.
Okay. I was imagining when you were professing your love, I had little like hearts floating up in the speech bubble.
Thinking, I mean,
someone's getting a Valentine's Day card.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Dallas. This is going to be really quick, everybody. Patrick Eves and Antoine Roussel, again, are putting up points. They're playing really well. Roussel's still getting you penalty minutes, too. I'm going to speak for you on this one, Viz. We love both of these guys. You should absolutely have them in your lineups. Like, they should be owned right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if they're just streamers. I think they're holds. Performing, I would say they're both holds. If they're available in your league, you can drop somebody and pick them up. I think that's a good choice. Dallas is still, yeah, I know Tuesday night they only had one goal. This team still can score. So, and when they're scoring, it seems like these two are in on almost every goal, or at least one of them is. So make sure if you can pick one of these guys up, I would say do it.
Yeah, I mean, they're still like 30% owned only, which is crazy to me.
Right. All right, let's go to Colorado. Peter Wiercock had, I think it was 2 points.
Mm-hmm. Goal and assist.
He had 23, 20. He had a good amount of ice time. He had 3.5 minutes on the power play. How much are you reading into this?
I mean, it's really encouraging to me to see the power play time. I mean, he, a few years ago on Ottawa, was getting a chance in the first power play and does really well. He's got 7 points so far, and Colorado's defense is thin. The opportunity should be there. It's definitely worth monitoring. I could see, you know, if your worst defenseman is kind of bad in a 12 or even taking the shot, but I think for sure anything deeper right now, he has to be owned. I mean, 21 minutes is very encouraging to me. So, you know, Colorado's up and down, but still, you know, getting power play time on any team is worth it. And their power play unit should still be better.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting once Duchesne gets back. Oh, yeah, Duchesne's out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he got a concussion. It's hard to get an actual update, you know, with him. I mean, he hasn't skated yet. They already ruled him out for Thursday's game. Apparently, you know, he's going to try to skate today in a no contact orange jersey. So we'll see. You know, that's a good sign. You know, it wasn't too long after Crosby started skating that he came back. So hopefully in a week would be, you know, my expectation.
Yeah. I guess we'll just talk about this one thing real quick. McKinnon had 10 shots on goal in the game mm-hmm. Tuesday night. That's kind of insane. I mean, we were gushing about the Brent Burns 11 shots in the game a couple weeks ago. For McKinnon to have 10 against a possession hawk like the Kings.
Right.
Very, very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I was glad to see him play 21 minutes, too. It makes me think that, you know, the breakout's coming, playing, you know, that many minutes. I mean, he's just so fast, and they had no answer for him without right. Kopitar playing, too, who's out. He doesn't sound too serious, but, my God, the Kings are so thin without him. They literally have one decent line right now and nothing else.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how
that their second line right now is Dustin Brown, Nick Dowd, and Devin Setoguchi.
That's an absolutely horrid second line.
Needless
That's
to say, terrible. they went -4 yesterday.
That sounds about right.
In a 4-1 game, so... Yeah, not good.
The Rangers, to the shock of nobody, scored 7 goals against the Canucks.
It's so ridiculous.
Shea on defense, and I pronounce it, and you might not recognize it. The spelling is Skjei.
Mm-hmm.
It's pronounced Shea, I've been told.
Yep.
You got to hold him, right? I mean,
yeah, he's still it's very like TJ Brody-esque from the last 2 years. I mean, 10 assists in 17 games, which, again, like, that's enough for you to hold. He's only at one shot per game. Two penalty minutes, those aren't going to be there. But if you need assists in power play points because he's out in the second unit, I mean, you have to hold him right now.
Yeah. That'll I would hold him. I think I picked him up in two of the leagues I'm in just because my bottom defensemen were being terrible.
Right. I mean, you might have to get rid of him eventually but and cycle through it, but it's definitely worth owning for now. It's just funny, like, Jesper Fast, two assists. Oscar Lindberg comes back in his first game, gets an assist of four penalty minutes with the Butcher out. Like, they're legitimately, like, 13 forwards deep. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Right now, they're the class of the East, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, you could say Montreal, but...
I think they're better than Montreal.
Me too. I mean, Montreal is so dependent on Price. Where the Rangers can get those kind of games from Lundqvist to bail them out, but they can score better than anybody at the moment.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move out west real quick. The Anaheim defense situation. You and I were talking about it before we hit the record button.
Yeah.
With Hampus Lindholm back in. Lindholm had about 19 and a half minutes of ice time. The leader for your time on ice in this game for defense was Cam Fowler again. It looks like the Lindholm reintegration into the team is not going to affect the production from Cam Fowler at all.
No, I mean, him and Vatanen are still on the points on the first power play unit, so I feel like all their values are safe right now. I think I'd have to rank Lindholm third just because of the fact he's not on the first power play unit. Before the season, I would have said Vatanen first, but now I would have to take Fowler just because from what we've seen, you know, the first month of the season. But I think I'd hold all of them. I mean, Lindholm, I guess, is kind of fringe, but I would still give him, you know, a little more time.
Yeah. Definitely, it'll be interesting to see if the Anaheim moves one of these defensemen or if they don't, maybe for fantasy, you can try and grab one from some unsuspecting owner who's afraid that their defenseman's going to lose out on ice time.
Yeah, that's production. True.
Because I think all three of them are worth owning.
Right? Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, they're all, like, yeah, Lindholm's not on the first unit, but he's on the second unit. And I think soon enough he will be getting more minutes than all of them. I mean, granted, some of that will be just because of penalty kill time and whatever, but I mean, he's a beast. There's no doubt about that. He's better than Fowler in real life, but in fantasy, I'm taking Fowler all day right now.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it for what we have in the middle portion. Mm-hmm. Let's move to the panic meter. Right. This is where I'm gonna list name a player who is struggling right now, and then on the meter of 1 to 10, 1 being you're completely okay and confident in them, and 10 being holy shit, sound the alarms, trade them for a bag of pucks. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah,
listeners, are you ready? I don't hear you. Okay. All right.
Buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up. Here we go. Hold on to your butts. This is going to get intense. Let's start in Boston. Patrice Bergeron.
I'm going to say the number. 3. I mean, he only has 4 points in 13 games. Yeah, but
that's not good.
No, but he's at over 3.5 shots a game. I mean, he's got too long of a history of being like a 60-plus point player. Like, he probably won't get to the 68 he had last year, but I am not too worried about him by the end of the season. He's definitely going to be on the lower end, even though he's one of the biggest disappointments so far, given, you know, he was drafted in the third round in most leagues. I'm still not too worried about him.
I think there's another element to this. It's not that, oh, well, he only has 4 points with 13 games, and that's why it's disappointing. Mm-hmm. It's that we saw him in the World Cup of hockey with Crosby and Marchand. And Bergeron, that whole line was shredding it out there. Yeah. Crosby's been tearing it up when he's on the ice. Marchand's been tearing it up. Bergeron hasn't. It's one of those, well, hold on, something like, no, he should be putting up more points.
I mean,
but I agree, around a three is reasonable. You know he's going to figure it out.
Right.
He's,
I mean,
he just has too long of a track record.
The thing with Bergeron and Pasternak, yeah, they've been doing better. A lot of that came from the first game of the year where they each get 5 points, too. You know, if Bergeron played that game, I'm sure, you know, he could have just had as big of a game. So it sucks he missed out on that. But just because, you know, Pasternak and, you know, he's still scoring, Pasternak. Marchand's slowing down a little bit. But, I mean, the Bruins guys, they might not be playing as wide open as last year, but they're still going to be fine.
All right, let's move out. Go on.
I was going to say, what are your thoughts on Anze Kopitar? Ignore the fact that he's hurt right now because it doesn't sound too serious.
Yeesh. I'm not overly thrilled with what I'm seeing from Kopitar right now. I mean, he wasn't playing last game. That team is hilariously thin. Let me just pull up the numbers. I'm at like a 7 with him, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do with we've already established that with Toronto, how Matthews in that line was going to stop performing as well as it had because teams were going to focus on him. Like, Kopitar is 8 points through 15 games.
Right.
I mean, he's got a little over, he's got like 2.3 shots per game. Yeah, 2 point. Yeah. Like, it's not really that exciting. 2 power play points, a shorthanded point. I mean, plus 1, 2 penalty minutes. You were never going to get penalty minutes with him anyways.
No.
Yeah, it's nice that he's got the 21 minutes time on ice. But, I mean, you can't really I'm at like a 6 because I'm worried that teams are going to just solely shut that line down. That's the only thing they're going to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be like watching the Sabres play, where if you get a goal, like, you'd be amazed if you're a Kings fan.
Yeah, I mean, are you at a 6 or a 7? Or a 6.5 and go right in the middle?
I'll go 6.5. I'll split the difference. I'm at 6.5.
I'm going to go high. I'm going to say like an 8.5. I'm really worried. They're just so bad. Like, they're dominating the puck. When he's on the ice, of course he's a 59%. Like, he's a monster. There's no denying it. But he's not getting a chance to play with anybody with real offensive ability. Now, maybe that changes when Gabbert comes back. I got to imagine he's got to be close now. Maybe another couple weeks. But even if they put Pearson or, you know, Purcell, it's not great. And, you know, could he get to 60 points? Sure, that wouldn't shock me at all. But
it would be a very nice feat if he could,
right,
do that.
But I mean, he had amazing. 74 last year, 73 years ago. I don't see any chance he gets back there unless their power play like really takes off, which historically hasn't been that great outside of last year, and I don't think it's gonna be. So yeah, I'm really worried about Kopitar. I'm gonna bring up his Fantasy Pros quick to see where he had him. I mean, it's just this thing. It's like they're so friggin' thin, and it's killing his quality of line mate for sure. Oh, good. I was the lowest on him. I had him at 34. He was as high as 18. Most people in the 20 to 30 range, and so yeah, it's really bad right now. Like, I feel fine. I feel okay about Carter and Toffoli when they were together, because then Kopitar is doing the hard work, and that's the other thing that's hurting Kopitar. He's doing the heavy lifting. Yep. He always has, but now it's even harder for him to get through it without Toffoli. So yeah, I'll say about an 8.5.
All right, let's move to Washington. Evgeny Kuznetsov. What do you got for him? Let me pull it up. All right.
6?
He's 15 games played, 2 goals, 5 assists.
No power play points.
No power play points, only 21 shots. He's about 1.5 shots a game.
If I knew things were going to stay the way they are right now, it would probably be even higher than a 6. You know, he's not even on the third. He's on the third line, not playing with Ovechkin, not playing with any of their top wingers. But that could change in a heartbeat. He could be back centering Ovechkin or Oshie or Johansson even very soon. He's super talented. He's only 24 years old. He's going through a bit of a rough patch. The lack of shots are where most of my concern is. To only have 21 in 15 games, mean, they just got to tell him to shoot more. Just be willing. Not being on the first power play unit really hurts too. He had 77 points last year with 18 on the power play. Unless he gets on that first unit, he's going to struggle to get the double digit power play points in my mind because they played the first unit for so much. But I'm not in full panic mode, and I could understand trying to buy low because, like I said, it could turn on a dime. He could, get 15 points in 10 games back on the first line really soon. It wouldn't shock me. So, yeah, it is worrisome, though, definitely more so than Bergeron in my mind.
I'm at a 5 with him. Okay. And, yes, right now the way the lines are is troubling. I don't believe that Barry Trotz is this bad of a coach to let this go on for much longer.
Right.
When they're putting up one goal a game, two goals, I mean, I'm sorry, you're playing, I believe the game is in, was the game in Washington?
Which, against night? Columbus?
Yeah.
No, it was in Columbus, no, okay. I think.
Regardless, you shouldn't be, if you have all that firepower, you can't just be putting up one goal a game. Like, that's unacceptable. I think they're going to put Kuznetsov back with Ovechkin, and there's going to be a tipping point. It's going to be an ascension back to the mean. And the good news for owners is that's going to be one hell of an ascension to right. try and get back to the middle ground. So, yeah, I'm at like a 5 because, I mean, you can't be more comfortable until you see him go back with Ovechkin. Right. If he was playing with Ovechkin right now, I would say like a 2 because I really think Washington's going to start lighting it up at some point. It's just it's a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, we're on the same page on that. Yeah. One.
All right, let's go to another foreigner, not of the same country, although everyone keeps thinking that he's Russian. We'll go to the Finn, Sasha Barkov in Florida. He's got 2 goals, 6 assists through 16 games. He's averaging 2 shots a game. He's got 2 power play points. Where are you on him? What's the panic meter?
About a 4, maybe. I mean, again, this is a little bit relative because his expectations were a little lower than the previous guys. Basically, I'm going down the line. The list we did is like highest draft picks going down pretty much. Barkov, he hasn't taken the step forward we expected, but they're also going to get healthier soon. I mean, not Huberto, but Jokinen's back. Bukestad's on the way. And it is a little bit more concerning to me that Jágr doesn't look as good this year. I mean, it's only natural being that old, but I mean, he could also turn it on. He's still such a beast, but I think, Barkov only had 16 power play points last year. He's not dependent on the power play. He was close to a point per game player last season. He's got 3 assists in the last 4 games, so the minutes are huge. He's starting to pick it up a little bit. I'm not too worried about him. I think out of these guys, he might be the best buy low candidate, actually, only because he didn't get drafted as high as like Bergeron and Kuznetsov, so their owners are going to be asking for more. Where Barkov was more of like the 6th to 7th round range for in most places. Yep. So maybe that person's more willing to cut bait. I'm not too overly concerned with him.
Yeah, I'm at a 3 with him. Okay. And here's why. Right before the season started, Bukestad and Huberto both went out. Mm-hmm. Yes, they've gotten great production from Marchessault. They've gotten great production from Trocheck. I think once Huberto comes back, once Bukestad comes back, I think they're going to have enough offensive depth that the scoring for Florida is going to pick up. I mean, yeah, Tuesday night, they were the first team to go into Montreal and win this season.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of expect that to keep going. I expect Barkov. I did expect a step forward this year, and I think it's just a matter of time. I think he'll get to the 60-point plateau again. I think we just have to be patient with it. And I think it'll be a nice spike in production once those guys start to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I would try and buy low on Barkov now.
Yeah.
Because I think at some point it's going to click, and you kind of want to get him before that.
Agreed.
Let's go to Ottawa. We got two players here. Let's just lump them together. We got Mike Hoffman and Mark Stone. It's Mark Stone, right?
Mark Stone, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hoffman, I'm at about a 2, honestly. I mean, he doesn't have a point in the last 5 games, but he's still at 3.5 shots a game almost on the season. 3 goals, 4 assists. He's on the first power play, on the point with Carlson. Like, I don't have really any concerns about him, to be honest.
And he's only shooting 5.7%, which will go up.
Right. Stone, maybe about a 3. I mean, every single season so far, he started slow and then just got on a massive hot streak. So maybe that's, like, in my mind. You can't really bank on him having those streaks. But, I mean, he's had a goal in 2 of the last 3 games. He played 21 minutes in the Philly game. Granted, it went to a shootout, but still. He doesn't have a power play point yet. That's not going to last. So I'm not worried with Stone either.
I'm at a 2 for each of them. So I think we're pretty much in agreement on this one. I mean, they're gonna just start turning it up.
Like, I agree.
I really would not be overly concerned. Dylan Larkin in Detroit, though, different story.
Yeah.
What do you have him at?
Maybe like a 5 or 6.
I guess let's lay it out for the listeners here. 17 games, he's got 5 goals. He only has 1 apple, though. That's sort of troubling. Yeah. He's a -6. Does have 17 penalty minutes. He's got 1 power play point. He's got 52 shots, so it's round 3 a game he's shooting?
Yeah, right over my math. So that's a good sign.
My math is right there. Okay, yeah. Shooting 9.6 from the field. I mean, that's pretty – I don't expect that to change too much.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, he's, you have him at – that's, I guess, on. 5.5. I mean – he's never been a great power play player. They're actually trying him on the point on the second unit. I think eventually he could end up on the point in the first unit because right now they have Ryan Spruill on there with Mike Green, who's actually done well since he's been called up. I wrote about him for Wednesday's notes, but, I mean, I can't see that lasting. Larkin's at a 50.5 Corsi, which, you know, it sounds break-even, but Detroit's the worst in the league right now. His relative Corsi is plus 7.1%. Like, the Red Wings are by far better with him on the ice, which makes me think his minutes are going to gradually start to go up. He's had a 20-minute game and a couple 18s in the last 5. I think we could see that start to increase even more, which will help his cause. So, yes, I'm a little worried. I'm still holding him for sure, and I mean, getting 3 shots a game, the goals are going to be there. It's whether these assists start to turn around, and I think it's only natural for a guy like him even to just stumble into 20 assists in a season. So I'm not overly worried about him, but it's worth monitoring closer than like the 2 Ottawa guys for sure.
Yeah, I'm at a 7 with him, and I think part of it's because I don't think Detroit's nearly as good as they were in years past.
I definitely agree with that.
I mean, I think they're struggling to score. Maybe it's time that Anthony Mantha gets brought up. But
he actually did just come up. He played 13 minutes the other day and had an assist. So
well, maybe it's time to keep him up because
that would be nice.
I mean, they need offensive firepower, like.
I look at their lines right now, and Larkin's playing with Nielsen and then Luke Glendening. Like, why? Put Mantha there, let Nyquist play with Helm, and then put, like, Sheehan, and then, you know, make the fourth line Ottmiller, Glendening or something. Like, there's no – give Mantha a chance. I know, like, Detroit's really gutted right now. And actually, I'll lower my thing on Larkin because Vanek's about to be back, so that means someone better is going to be on that line. I mean, Franzen's out, Yurko's out, Athanasiu's out. Like, they're going to get healthier, but Vanek is supposed to be back Sunday. So if Vanek slides in that line or if they put Helm back with Vanek, then Nyquist is going to be with Nielsen and Larkin, and then I'll be even less worried about him.
Okay, so I guess you and I have a little bit of a disagreement on that one. All right, let's go to this other one where I'm pretty sure we're going to have a disagreement on this one too. Logan Couture for the Sharks. 8 points in 16 games, 3 goals, 5 assists. He's -3, 2 power play points, Over three shots a game, though. Shooting just 5.9% from the field. Two penalty minutes, so nothing really to write home there.
He's never contributed there.
Right. All right. And he's a big Bills Mafia guy, so we're going to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about it. What do you got him on your panic meter?
My first thought was to go kind of high, but now that I look at it, he's still getting a lot of first power play unit time, and the shots are still great. So I'll go with like a 3.5. I mean, I was really high on him going in the year. I had high expectations, and after his monstrous playoffs where he had 30 points. Part of the problem is Bodker has just been horrible. And I don't know if it's going to improve at all, but I think they might flip-flop him with Marlowe. Donskoy and Couture look fine. I really think it's just that the third spot. Are you panicking higher than that or not at all?
Yeah, I'm at like a 5. Okay. The shooting percentage isn't very good. My problem is that San Jose just doesn't seem to be scoring a whole lot. And I think we talked about it in one of the podcasts recently about teams that just aren't scoring a lot. I mean, we talked about how Colorado and Buffalo are the two lowest scoring teams in the league last week. Or no, on Tuesday, mm-hmm. Monday, whatever the fuck we aired the last one. We talked about that. San Jose is not a high scoring team this year. We just talked about how they got shut out 1-0 at a team with terrible goaltending and way below average defense or defensive defenseman in Carolina. And yeah, the shooting percentage is going to go up, which means he's going to score more. But it's one of those, I need to see it to believe it, because it almost looks like a cup hangover type of thing.
Yeah, maybe. They're 24th in the league in goals per game, which is absurdly low. I can't see
For a team that was supposed to be so strong on offense.
Right, I mean,
and
I
so
can't,
dominant with the puck. That's what's got me a little bit worried.
For that reason, I just can't see it lasting. I mean, they also have like the 13th best power play. I think that's going to finish like top 7 or better. I'm not overly concerned yet. I mean, his even strength points might not be too great, but if he doesn't top like 25 power play points on that first unit, I'd be a bit surprised. And right now he doesn't have a power play assist, which is just insane to me. So I expect that power play to catch fire soon, so maybe that's what I'm banking it off of.
Yeah.
I think we're going to agree on this one. We talked about him earlier, but Sean Monahan.
What's the highest we're allowed to go?
As high as you want.
14.
Yeah.
I'm going a 14 on this. The shot percentage isn't going to change. He's at 12.5%. 17 games played, so he's played almost more than, or one of the top amount of games played. So he has the fewest amount of games left to be played. He has 6 points. He's got 4 goals, 2 assists. He's a minus 10. He's playing a 0.35 points per game. He's got 1 power play point, 8 penalty minutes, which you weren't relying on that anyways. He's been fucking atrocious. They just lost Goudreau. We're talking about Sean Monahan, by the way, everybody, just in case you lost track there. I'm at like a 14. This is a fucking nightmare for Sean Monahan. Without Goudreau, I just don't see where this team's going to be putting up all these points.
Yeah, maybe he just clicks with Bennett and works out.
You say that, but do you really believe that?
Maybe it's like 10%. I don't know. Like, I am a big Bennett fan, but even still. Yeah, I mean, I'm probably sticking
to the big
scale.
I'm a big Bennett fan, too, for next year.
Yeah.
Not for this year.
I mean, sticking to the scale, I'll say like a 9.5. Like, it's not good.
Yeah, I can't stick to the... I'm also a little bit emotionally invested in it because my RCL team name is West Coast Best Coast, and 3 of my first 4 picks were McJesus, Johnny Gaudreau, and Sean Monahan.
Yeah.
So you can understand why I'm a little bit frustrated by almost everything. I mean, McDavid's trying to single-handedly keep me alive, but there's only so much he can do.
Mm-hmm. But.
All right, so we can disagree that it's hit the panic button on Sean Monahan.
Yeah.
Let's go to John Carlson in Washington. He has not inspiring numbers.
No.
He has 6 assists through 15 games, no goals. He does have 40 shots, though. So
yeah,
he's under 3 a game. one power play point. He's a plus one, 0 penalty minutes because he's a goody two shoes.
I'm still only at like a 3.5, only because he's gonna get the power play points. Like he has one power play assist. Like Washington Capitals are too good of a team to struggle this long in the power play. I mean, I'm bringing it up now. They're like 20-something in the league in power play. 25th. They're at 11.9%. That's just not going to last. I'm sorry. So I think Carlson's going to get back into the 45 to 50-point range by the time the season's over. And, you know, he won't have the big breakout that I was hoping for, but it's still going to be plenty good enough. Thoughts?
I'm at like a 2, and I say this only because we talked about it with Kuznetsov. We almost might as well lump these guys together.
Yeah, that's
this team is going to start clicking. The power play is going to start clicking. This team is going to start putting up 5-6 goals a game. It's going to happen. It's the ascension to the mead. Get ready for it. Try and load up on some Washington high end Washington caps because it's going to happen, people.
I agree.
Get ready for it. Let's go to Dallas, another high-scoring team that is not playing very high-scoring right now. Mm-hmm. John Klingberg will stay on the blue line. Not really much of a panic here, I don't think. 17 games played. Again, a little bit troubling when you have that many games played and the points aren't there. He does have 2 goals and 7 assists. He's got 9 points on the season. Over half a point a game. 25 shots, which is concerning.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to say like a 5 only because, he's not even at 1.5 shots a game. And in the last few games, his minutes have been going down. Like he's had a couple like 23, 24-minute games. He's also had some 18-minute games.
That's troubling.
I don't know why because their defense is just super thin. And they're clearly better with him on the ice, but... Yeah, I mean, the power play points are definitely going to be there, but I have a hard time seeing him getting back to 58 points like he had last year unless he really starts to put the shots on. I mean, you look at last year, he attempted 361 shots in 76 games. So ballpark it at 5 a game, and he had 2.5 per game on net. Now he's at 4 a game. Exactly, and 1.5 a game on net. So his ratio of getting shots through is worse, and he's taking far less shots. So, I mean, he's going to struggle to even get 10 goals at this rate, which is all he had last year. But, I mean, he had 48 assists, and we weren't expecting that again. At least I wasn't. I was thinking more like 40, but he can get to 15 goals. And unless the shots go up, I just don't see how it's remotely possible.
Yeah, I'm at a 5 with him.
Okay.
The minus 8 is also kind of bad. I know plus minus is more of a crapshoot, but I mean, we talked about Dallas as being one of the cup contenders out west.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a minus 8 and be the top defenseman on this team. Like that's I'm not amused by that one bit.
No.
4 power play points is okay. The shot total is scary, but I mean, for an average defenseman to have 9 points for 17 games, okay.
Oh, great. It's not. Yeah, it's not horrible.
Right, it's not the problem. Isn't the points? It's the shots.
It's all relative. I mean, right, Klingberg was another guy who was probably a 6th round pick or so, and you were hoping to see the shots take another step up after it did the first year by year, and now it's just regressed mightily, and hopefully it changes.
Yeah. All right, let's stay on the blue line in the same division. Let's shoot up north to Winnipeg. Dustin Byfuglien, big buff. He's got 18 games played, which I believe is the most in the league.
Yeah, the Jets play more than anybody.
Yeah, he's got 9 assists, no goals. So he's averaging half a point a game. 19 penalty minutes, which is okay. He's a plus 2.
Mm-hmm.
48 shots on goal. He only has one.
Which is actually 48 shots is actually a decent step back from where he's been. He's been at 3 a game for the last few years. Even more going back further. Yeah. But I'm still only at about like a 2.5. He's still on pace for over 80 penalty minutes. The 41 assist pace, it would be a career high. he's going to find the back of the net in a matter of time. And he's still playing massive minutes. Like, he only played 25 minutes yesterday, and I say only in air quotes, but they were up 4-0. They didn't have to roll him in the third. Two games before that, he played over 31 minutes each. Like, everything's there. The Jets' power play is down at 18th in the league. I think that's going to get better with all the goal scoring they're doing. So, would it shock me at all if Byfuglien has a stretch coming up where he scores, you know, 5 goals and 2 assists in 10 games or even less games than that? Not one bit. So, I'm not really worried about him.
Yeah, I'm at a 1 with him. Yeah. And you talked about the dip in time on ice in the last game. Mm-hmm. His average time on ice this season is 28.5 minutes. He sees the ice so much that it's only natural for him to get points. The 19 penalty minutes, again, excellent for a defenseman that you were drafting high, who can also produce. 9 assists, great. He's going to find the back of the net. He's still averaging 2.5 shots a game. That's going to go up.
I mean, he's playing the most minutes in the league by over a minute right now.
Right, and that's more than Ryan Suter, which I didn't think anyone would have expected.
Suter's actually 4th, but he's only 3 seconds away from being in 2nd. So,
okay,
Carlson and Doughty and him are all right there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, 1 power play point, that's going to go up. Come on, don't be ridiculous. I'm at a 1 with Byfuglien. I'm not worried at all about him. Cool. Speaking of Doughty, what do we think about Drew Doughty and In L.A., he's got 2 goals and 4 assists through 17 games. He's got 14 penalty minutes, which I don't think is something you can really rely on.
He's usually good for, like, the 50-ish range. So, I mean, it's not too far above expectation right now. But, I mean, it's not going to be anything special for sure.
All right, he's got 42 shots on net, so just over 2 a game. Where are you on the Drew Doughty panic meter? 6 points in 17 games.
So this is all relative, okay? To me, it's about a 4 or 5, but this is because I had extremely low expectations for Doughty. Like, here are the rankings on Fantasy Pros for Doughty going into the season: 27, 43, 47, 48, 49, 61, 112. Guess
were
which
you
one
112?
I am. Yeah, I was 112. I did not buy into last year, mostly that he had 24 power play points, which just dwarfed anything he's ever done in the past. He was plus 24, plus minus. You know, he's anywhere from even most years to a couple big years. So that was where a lot of his value came from. 14 goals was a bit of an outlier. The team is just so thin, as we've said repeatedly, and I think he's going to settle in around 40 to 45 points. So it'll be decent enough. But if you spent an early round pick on him, then, you know, if I had him ranked in the 40s like a lot of people did, my panic meter would be about a 10 because I don't see any chance of that happening. But compared to what I expected, which I expected him to be a solid number 2 fantasy defenseman like he is most years, now maybe I'd expect him to be a 3. I wouldn't necessarily expect him to be better than that. So, again, it's all relative to me.
The 27 minutes of ice time is encouraging a game.
Yeah, I mean, he's always there, though.
Right. Like, I'd probably have him at, like, a 6, because I know a lot of people were high on him. And, I mean, you went through and you explained how you were right and all that nonsense. You were tooting your own horn.
Yeah.
I just don't see the Kings being that offensively gifted this year.
And not.
For Doughty, that's tough. I mean, I pulled it up on NHL.com. I just typed in DOU in the players list to quickly get Doughty as fast as I could. And you know who else came up who in 17 games played at 2 goals, 4 assists, and actually has 3 more shots than Doughty? Dougie Hamilton. And Dougie Hamilton has been a nightmare for fantasy owners.
I mean, rest of season, who would you take? I mean, you probably still take Doughty, but they just moved Hamilton up to the first pair, and I feel like he really just needs the opportunity. I don't know.
Right.
Like, it's kind of close, and that's the kind of ballpark I'm talking with Doughty.
And
so.
Now imagine where you drafted Doughty and then where Dougie Hamilton was drafted.
Right.
And you're going to get the same production.
Mm-hmm. You're probably going to get some more penalty minutes from Doughty. That's really about
although
it.
Doug, Although Hamilton does have a 6-penalty-minute lead over him right now.
Really? That's a bit surprising. I don't think that'll last, but I could be wrong. But like I said, we talked about in preseason, Doughty, he had 14 goals last year. 9 power play goals.
Right. Like, that's not going to happen again.
Like, he had 10 the previous 3 years combined. So it's no shock to me at all that he has 0 power play goals so far. So, I mean, again, it's all relative to expectation with him. But I'm not shocked that he only has 6 points in 17 games. It will improve from there, but don't expect last season to happen again.
Yeah. All right. Who else do we have? Staying on the blue line, Rasmus Ristolainen. This one's going to hit home kind of hard here.
So if we're talking like for tonight's game, it would probably be about an 8. But when you look at rest of season, it's probably about a 2. I know he's been horrible lately. He has no points the last 5 games. He has no goals and 8 assists. The shots are down to, you know, just under 2 a game. But he's still crushing the power play with 6 assists. Ryan O'Reilly, who's not going to play tonight, but it's going to be back very soon. Jack Eichel is going to be back very soon. So the power play is going to be getting even better. He's got a better partner to play with, except that he's hurt right now, Kulikov, and he should be back relatively soon. So things around Rasmus are going to get a lot better very soon. He's playing career-high minutes. I think he's 6th in the league in time on ice. In the big picture, I'm not concerned, and I think he's a really good buy-low candidate because I know a lot of people are close to just like cutting him.
You should not cut him.
I would try to get him.
Yeah, I'm at a 3 with him. I mean, the news came out on Wednesday that Tyler Ennis is going to be out for 2 months with a double hernia surgery, which is fucking terrible.
Yeah, I feel
this
bad
team
for
is
him.
Struggling so hard to score. I mean, their most offensively productive line so far has been Johan Larson, Brian Gionta, and Marcus Foligno. That should tell you almost everything you need to know about the state of the Sabres right now. They can't score for shit at the moment. With Ryan O'Reilly out, I just don't see how they're going to win any games.
Yeah, it's pretty rough right now.
I mean, Eichel's got, what, 2 weeks, I think, left
maybe
in the timetable?
If even. Like I said, I mean, yeah.
But if O'Reilly and Eichel come back, it opens up the entire offense. Kane, I know the Sabres lost, what was it, 4-1 in St. Louis?
Yeah. With an empty netter. But yeah.
Right. They lost 4-1. I know the Sabres only scored 1 goal. Kane looked a lot better in that game than he had in games past.
Yeah, I was very encouraged by him and Reinhardt.
I keep telling Viz, everybody. I keep texting Viz saying the Sabres should just trade Evander Kane. But he actually looked good. He didn't play incredibly reckless last night. He wasn't just firing shots wide with reckless abandon. And Reinhardt finally scored from in front of the net instead of behind the net, which is, I guess, a start.
Yeah.
That being said, with Ristolainen, let's get just back to Ristolainen real quick. I'm at like a 3 because, you still have to worry about the short term. The 25 and a half minutes of ice time a game is very encouraging.
Right.
Hopefully, I mean, Kulikov's been out, but Bogosian's been out.
Right.
I mean, they're playing some absolute scrubs on defense for big minutes. So if he gets better defensive partners, they'll be more in the offensive zone. They get more offensive players. He'll have better chance for apples.
Right.
I'm not overly worried about it. The 12 penalty minutes is also kind of encouraging since it's a nice little boost on the side. Again, tremendous buy low candidate.
Yeah, I mean, you could even wait a week or so if you wanted to. Hopes he continues to struggle and then go even lower. Here's a stretch the Sabres have, you know, coming up in December when we'll assume everybody's healthy. They got Edmonton, then they got 2 days off, and then Washington. Then they got 3 days off, Kings. 3 days off, and then Islanders, Carolina, Florida, Carolina, Islanders, Detroit. There's a lot of teams besides Washington and Florida that they could score a lot of goals on when the team's healthy. I could see them getting on a hot streak in that stretch. And that, I mean, obviously, if the team starts doing well, Ristolainen is going to with the minutes he's getting. So
right.
I think it's a matter of time.
Yep. All right, let's move into net.
Yeah, let's rapid fire these goalies.
Yeah, all right. Ben Bishop.
Oh, man. I mean, I think on a per game basis going forward, I would only be about a 3. Tampa's looking great, and I think he's going to be fine. I mean, maybe the contract situation's in his head a little bit, but I'm not too worried about it. If on a per, like a full big picture kind of basis, I'd probably be at about a 7. Only because Vasilevskiy's playing so well, and he's locked into playing every third game. Like, they've strictly done Bishop, Vasilevskiy, the whole way down. And maybe it works in a more if Vasilevskiy keeps playing well. So if I was a Bishop owner, I would hold. But if Vasilevskiy's still available in your league, I would pick him up to guarantee I have all 82 starts for Tampa.
Yeah.
That's basically where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm at a 4 with Bishop. I mean, I drafted him in our one money league. I drafted him and Corey Schneider early, which I, again, we never draft goalies early. I don't know why I did it. I guess I was just in that type of mood. Yeah, I'm at a 4. You got to own Vasilevskiy if you own Bishop. Hopefully Vaz is still there on the waiver wire.
Right.
Let's stay in Florida. Roberto Luongo, the Strombone.
About a 3, maybe. I mean, the wins are the only downside. I mean, he's got a 236 goals against, which is perfectly fine. 916 save percentage is lower than it has been, but I think that'll get better too. The team's about to get healthier in front of him, so I think the wins are going to be better. You know, Reimer's cutting into the starts a little bit. They said Reimer's going to start Thursday night, but, I mean, Luongo's still going to get the majority of starts, so I'm not too worried about him.
Yeah, I'm not worried as well. I got him at a 3.
All right.
I'm not worried about him. Gibson and Anaheim just had a nice win.
Yeah.
I mean, over Edmonton. Like, honestly, the team's getting better. Getting Lindholm back's going to work. I guess I'll lead the start of this. I'm at a 2 with Gibson. Yeah. I talked about him, and I said that I thought he was the number one goalie. I still believe that. I think Anaheim is going to start turning it up a little bit because I think the talent on that roster is still one of the better rosters in the West.
Yeah, their division's a dumpster fire.
Yeah,
too,
I'm at a 2 with him. I don't even know. I'm not even entirely sure why he's on this list. But
I mean, he's had a 909 save percentage.
That's going to get better. It's just going to get better.
It should.
Worried about it. I don't want to say one because I don't think anyone is a one.
No, me either. But I mean, he's still got the firm control of the majority of starts there. I'm about a 2.5, 3 maybe, just because they're playing a little more open. But I think that'll tighten up with Lindholm anyway.
All right, let's go to St. Louis. Yeah, with Jake Allen.
I'm going to go about a 5, maybe a 6, 5.5, I'll say, I guess. He's only at a 901 save percentage, and yeah, he's coming off a good start against the Sabres, 23 saves, 1 goal against, but the Sabres hit 3 posts and had a lot of other really good chances they just didn't bury. The wins are going to be good. The goals against is reasonably fine, but I mean, he went from a 920 save percentage to 901 so far this year, which is obviously horrible. I think it will improve. I'm not necessarily sure. I try to buy low because he looked kind of shaky watching that game closer yesterday. He doesn't have a quality backup. Carter Hutton's not going to steal the show. So, I mean, that's a good thing in that regard. Their division is really rough, and that's more the main reason I have a little bit of a panic. Like, outside of Colorado and, Dallas and Nashville are struggling, but they're still decent enough in scoring goals. It's a pretty strong division, so I guess about a 5. He might end up being a top end number 2 instead of a number 1 like I thought.
Yeah, I'm at actually a 6 with him. Okay. St. Louis is playing a lot more reckless in these games than I would have expected.
Yeah.
And Jake Allen, I mean, we talked about, like, another example of this is Robin Leonard. Robin Leonard puts up good numbers somehow. He doesn't look like he's putting up good numbers. There's a lot of rebounds. He just looks like he's flopping all over the place, yet somehow stopping the puck. I think at some point it comes down to this goalie looks like a number one. Jake Allen's not performing like a fantasy number one. He doesn't look like that. And we talk about how a goal is a goal. That's great and everything. But in order to determine success, long-term success and predicting long-term success, you want to see how they look in net. And Jake Allen just doesn't look comfortable right now in net. And the team in front of him is pretty good. So, right. I mean, I think, I'm at a 6 with him right now.
I mean, they got two tough games coming up. They got the Sharks tonight in Nashville. And then I'll be interested to see how he looks in those games.
And it's one of those, it's based on where you drafted him. And
yeah,
what
it's all about, again, it's all about expectation. Right, based on expectation, Brian Elliott is at about a 10 for me. I thought he was going to be a number two goalie. That's just not even close.
This is where you and I totally had a different interpretation of this.
Yeah, I mean, he's at an .882 save percentage and a .336 goals against. And even more disheartening is Chad Johnson actually looks pretty good. I'm not surprised by that, considering he looked fine during the Sabres' tank years. But at .245 goals against and a .910 save percentage, I think Johnson might start to cut into more starts. So, yeah, I don't own Elliott anywhere, but if I did, I would not be happy about it at all.
Yeah, I am. Yikes. So, this is one of those expectation games.
Right.
He has 3 wins and 8 losses in 11 starts. His goals against average is .336. His save percentage is .882.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
Right.
I just want everyone to know that's absolutely horrible.
For sure.
I don't want to toot my own horn. When we went in for the division previews, you were so much higher on Brian Elliott than I was.
I mean, this is all relative, though. I am the lowest on him on Fantasy Pros. Like,
which is amazing, because I said I wanted nothing to do with him.
I didn't want to trust the team in front of him. Right. I didn't want him where he was, you know, he's ranked as high as 58th overall. Most people
are in the 70s.
I had him 96, and I think, like, the 16th or 17th goalie. So, I mean, I thought he was going to be a decent number two because I thought Calgary was going to be better. But, man, they're certainly not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's like, I think I won, but I think you won more so because, you know, like I said, I didn't get him anywhere, but you would have had him even much lower than I did.
I had him all. He was off my board. I would never consider. I would have taken Vasilevskiy over Brian Elliott in the draft, and I say that in all seriousness. I don't trust. I thought that a lot of his success in St. Louis was because of St. Louis, not because of Brian Elliott.
Yeah.
And yes, he played well, but it also helped that he had such a strong defensive core in front of him.
Yeah.
Such a good, just an all-around solidly defensive team in front of him. Calgary is not a solidly defensive team. We talked about it being the wild, wild west out there in the Pacific Northwest Division. That's what it is. And him going there, I mean, think about the defense. Think about the defense in front of him and St. Louis. He had Jay Bouwmeester. He had Alex Pietrangelo. He had Shattenkirk. He had Parayko. Now he goes up, and those are defensively very responsible, very good defensive defensemen. Now in Calgary, he's got Mark Giordano, who's a great defenseman. Dougie Hamilton is more of an offensive defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
And your boy, Derek Englund, up there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even close to the same class.
No.
So,
I mean, it's one for Razzballers, because you had him even lower than me. Matt, who did his preseason goalie rankings, had him way lower than me. He had him like 21st, I think. So we were all avoid it and don't have him anywhere, thank God.
Yeah, that was bad. He's been bad this year.
Yeah, really
so based on my expectations, he's at like a 7 because mm-hmm. I really expected nothing out of him. So this doesn't surprise me. He still kind of sucked. We do have to move along pretty quickly, though, since I think we're taking up a lot of time.
Yeah.
We have to get to the
three-point challenge.
Yeah, do we have any winners from Tuesday?
No, everyone missed again. Top 10, I'm still doing it by points per game, only because we still have – Columbus played 14 games, Jets have played 18, and, again, Crosby needs to be, you know, counted in this. So, Crosby, Kucherov, Stamkos, Sagan, Scheifele, Foligno, McDavid, Wenberg, and then we got a big tie. Anisimov, Galchenyuk, Tarasenko, Kane. Quick rundown of the schedule. It's a little smaller of a slate than usual on a Thursday, but Philly, Winnipeg, I could see being high scoring. Florida, Toronto, James Reimer revenge game. I think he'd actually be a pretty good streamer in that game. I think Florida.
Yes.
It's going to tighten up a bit. Nashville, Ottawa, depending on who's in net. I mean, if Mazanik actually does play, Ottawa guys are amazing. But I think that could be a high-scoring game either way. Blues, Sharks, probably tighter. Same Minnesota, Boston. Colorado, Dallas is a prime game. Arizona, Vancouver, if you could find someone that you think can get 3 points. Ducks, Devils, probably low scoring. Edmonton, LA, I don't really know. That could go either way. Oh, you go ahead and go first. Co-leader.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, there's not a clear-cut pick here by any stretch.
No, I mean, I guess we'll go through the thought process. Dallas could be a great team to look at.
Yeah.
Nashville, Ottawa could be anywhere. It really depends on who Nashville's starting in net.
Right.
I don't trust Toronto at all. They had a big win against Nashville on Tuesday night. I don't trust them to play that well back-to-back. And it is the James Reimer revenge night.
Yeah.
Patrick Laine is a sneaky, not disqualified player right now. And for sure. It's not like Philadelphia is playing low-scoring games. Stamkos isn't going to be there, but Tampa, I mean, Buffalo again, like...
Yeah, it's hard. I mean,
you should almost load up any if you're doing like daily fantasy. Whatever goalie's playing against Buffalo is an outstanding selection.
Yeah, I would say against Vancouver is my first choice normally, only because Vancouver puts such a high shot volume on, and they're like so low quality shots. Like they had 38 shots Tuesday against the Rangers. Lundqvist hit 36 saves, and it was easy. Like.
Right.
You know, but Buffalo, obviously, going against the lowest scoring team in the league can't be bad. And it sounds like O'Reilly's going to miss again.
Yeah.
But you can't take Kucherov, and Stamkos probably out. So, I mean, you're looking at, like, Tyler Johnson. Maybe that's a bit of a stretch, I think.
Yeah. And I'm not feeling the Nemestikov selection right now. No. I'm actually going to go with Patrick Laine. Okay. And, yeah, it's actually a toss-up for me between Laine and Claude Giroux.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think both of them will probably hit 3 points. I could totally see Laine doing it. He's already got 12 goals on the fucking year. He's probably going to get more. Wouldn't shock me if he somehow gets a hat trick too on the power play. Or ridiculous. Because he's been absolutely lights out. And of course, it's only a matter of time before people in Toronto start wondering, did we make the wrong selection? Which. It's completely unfair to Austin Matthews.
No, but. I mean, he's been great, too. It's just, they're different types of players. They're,
yeah,
I mean,
and
it's, this
and
is going to be, it, I mean, I don't think it's going to be necessarily, you know, Ovechkin-Crosby type of rivalry. It might be more like Taves, you know, Kovalchuk, even though they're not, you know, they're not the same draft or anything, but those types of players. And, you know, I'm glad, you know, hopefully they start to show Winnipeg on TV more, and they're already starting to show Toronto more.
Yep.
Man, I'm stuck. I've been debating two guys, but I'm going to go with Jamie Benn. I'm going to count on him finally having a breakout game. The first time they played this year, the game was 6-5 Colorado, so certainly within the realm of possibility of that happening again. I was tempted to take a Nashville guy, but Craig Anderson is hotter than hell right now, and I'll stay away from that and go with Ben.
All right, that's fair enough. Yeah, so everyone just post your 3-point contest selection in the comments section on this podcast. Make sure it's in by 7 o'clock, which is when the first game starts, or before the game of your player starts.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably just before 7 o'clock Eastern. It's really not that hard.
Like, yeah.
You can't be thinking about it this much. So just post in the comment section. We'll call out the winners next week.
Yeah.
Maybe if we're feeling frisky, we'll do one for the Saturday games as well. I don't know. Depends on what the weekend looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, thanks for listening, everybody. Just give a nice, healthy subscribe. And yeah, we'll see you next week or maybe this weekend. It all depends. But Fez, take it easy, man.
Take care, buddy.
Yep.